Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
As Senator Scott Brown and the rest of Washington struggle with how to avoid the fiscal cliff, it might be instructive to recall that we have been here before. We were reminded of that by the recent passing of former New Hampshire Senator Warren Rudman, who made deficit reduction his cause both during and after his 12 years in the Senate. As his former campaign manager Brad Cook told us, Rudman was a famously cantankerous and plain-spoken New England Republican who liked to shake things up with the truth.
When he went to Washington, he said, you know, if you just look them in the eye and tell them the truth, they don't know what to do with it. He was probably the most dynamic and straightforward politician we've had.
And Warren Rudman was remembered at a memorial last week in Washington. Michael Cranish, deputy bureau chief of the Boston Globe's Washington Bureau, covered the New Hampshire senator for years and wrote recently about his legacy and about some of the lessons it holds for today.
He's best known perhaps for being part of the Graham-Rudman deficit reduction bill, which in a lot of ways is similar to what we're dealing with the fiscal crisis. There were automatic spending cuts. At the time, there were debates about whether tax cuts increased growth under the supply-side theory. There were votes to increase the debt ceiling. And there was a lot of back and forth about whether there should be a violation of a no-new-taxes pledge. So it really is a case of deja vu. And my thought in writing this story was to remind people what Senator Rudman had said all those years ago, what happened in that fight, so it seems very relevant to think about that again today.
And one of the lessons that Warren Rudman leaves with us is how rare it is for these guys just telling the truth and being frank about stuff. He was famous for being frank and honest about what was going on, right?
He was. He was a very blunt-spoken individual. You know, it's interesting, in thinking about Rudman after he passed away, since I'd covered him, I wanted to write about him in some way, and I found that there was an oral history done recently with him. So I looked at that transcript that was done by the University of California, Berkeley, and he had a number of really interesting things in there, and one that really struck me was this comment where he said, quote, "I blame the American people as much as I blame Congress. They talk a great game, the American people do. They are against deficit spending as long as it didn't affect anything that they benefit from."
Wow.
So that those words really are, you know, pointing out that, you know, people will often say in the general, well, let's cut the deficit, let's cut those programs. And then you might say, well, what about this program? And they may say, well, don't cut my program, cut the other person's program. And that's often, I've covered Congress and Washington for a long time. It's a very tough thing for members of Congress to deal with. And obviously, it's how we got to this point today.
Well, let's play a clip from Warren Rudman just after he retired. You mentioned Oral History Project. This is from a 1996 interview with Ray Suarez, who was then host of NPR's Talk of the Nation. And Warren Rudman is talking about his view of President Ronald Reagan's tax cuts under the theory that they would spur growth and increase tax revenues. Let's listen to what he said.
Fact is that the advice he got was horrible advice. He was not an economist. He didn't do what I think a prudent president should have done with such a theory, call in a group of respected, conservative Republican economists and say, run this thing and tell me what it looks like. They did it in their own little cabal, resulting in the deficit exploding and no one essentially trying to do anything about it.
So what I love about that quote is here's Republican Warren Rudman saying something that just, you know, absolutely challenges party orthodoxy, not to mention, you know, one of the heroes of the Republican Party. He wasn't afraid to do that.
That was pure Warren Rudman. I'm so glad you played that clip. You know, he was asked in the oral history that I referred to about the same supply-side theory, and he said, I never believed that for a minute. And then he talked about how he got Phil Graham, a Texas Republican conservative, to join with him on a deficit reduction deal. And he said to Phil Graham that, look, you, I'm paraphrasing here, you pushed through these Reagan tax cuts that were just referred to in your clip. And he said, quote, look what the hell you've done. You've got to fix this. So then they went on and became partners in the effort to reduce the deficit. But, you know, it's the theory of supply side that it would actually, by cutting taxes, bring in more revenue. It is obviously a very controversial theory. A lot of Republicans still believe in it. Mitt Romney, you know, embraced that theory. And it's something that both parties really have to deal with, this question of how can you bring in more revenue if you do cut tax rates. So it's an issue that continues to be very relevant today.
Well, Michael, remind us a little bit about the Graham-Rudman Act. He called it a bad idea whose time has come because he said you shouldn't have to have a statute that causes people to do what they're elected to do, and that's to be responsible. Remind us what the Graham-Rudman Act did.
It was very controversial at the time, and a number of people looking back would say, you know, it did not succeed because they eventually had to replace it with something else. But essentially what it did is it would just institute automatic spending cuts. It was meant to put pressure on Congress. So what Rudman wanted to do was put in a measure that would say, look, if you can't bring the deficit to a certain point, there's going to be automatic cuts that will do this. And this is going to be basically, you know, a mindless program that is going to institute these cuts. And if you want to avoid that, you come up with the cuts that are needed yourself. If you can't, these things will kick in. The act was found unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. They had to revise it and give authority to the White House, essentially, to come up with these cuts. What that did, though, is that that put pressure on then-President George H.W. Bush in 1990 to come up with a budget deal in which he violated his famous Read My Lips, No New Taxes pledge. He wanted to avoid the Graham-Rudman automatic deficit reduction. That 1990 act is a very significant piece of legislation. Many economists would argue that it put the nation on the road to a balanced budget that then occurred in the Clinton administration. And now, again, we have this similar situation. We have this fiscal cliff. We have the automatic cuts. But we don't have a Republican president in the White House saying, let's do this. It's a Democratic president trying to push a Republican House to do this. So it's even more complicated for the current administration.
Well, here's another clip. This is from that same 1996 interview with Ray Suarez. Warren Rudman is responding to a caller. We're sort of moving away from the economy right now. He commended him for his stance on abortion rights, which he favored and which was at odds with the Republican Party platform. Let's listen.
My point very simply is that, you know, I respect people on both sides of that debate. I do not challenge their right to have a strongly held view. What I challenge is to make it the dominant view of the Republican Party to the point where we will lose the center of this country.
Losing the center of this country, that kind of independent-minded politician prepared to go up against his party's orthodoxy, how common is that today in Washington?
Well, when I first came to D.C., there were a number of classic New England Republicans who were moderate, like Warren Rudman, and he was concerned that the party was losing, you know, certain voters, women, younger voters, all sorts of folks and so forth. And some would make the argument that those same warnings, you know, played a role in Romney perhaps losing this election. Romney, you know, was New England Republican favoring abortion rights, and then he said he changed his mind. He was against abortion rights, ran pretty strongly on that in the primaries, didn't talk about it very much in the general election because he and his campaign realized that that, you know, perhaps was not a winning issue for him in the general.
And let me play one last quote from Warren Rudman from that same 1996 interview with Ray Suarez. He was asked if he ever regretted not making one more run for the Senate. He said he was only going to serve two terms, which he did, but he knew he had to move on. This is what he said.
To be perfectly frank about it, with the partisanship being played at both ends of Pennsylvania Avenue, in my view, I don't think I could have accomplished much more than was accomplished.
So I was just struck by that because, you know, people like Olympia Snow are talking about that partisanship just making it impossible to work today. He's talking about the same issue more than 20 years ago.
Well, you know what? When I hear that, you know, I did cover that time when he left. There was a lot of talk about how terribly partisan it was then, but the reality is they did a lot of deals. They did a lot of deals with President George H.W. Bush, and then a number of deals were done as President Clinton came in, example, you know, welfare reform and so forth. So I wonder if he had some regrets because, you know, today it actually is much more partisan than it was 20 years ago. But whenever I've covered Congress, people always seem to say, you know, it's as partisan as I've ever seen it. And the time that he was serving in the Senate, they actually were getting a number of things done on a bipartisan basis. What happened was is when George H.W. Bush broke his no taxes pledge, his own party revolted, and that played a big role in George H.W. Bush not winning re-election. So Rudman was seeing all this firsthand. He was seeing his own party split apart. So I think he was also thinking about what was happening with his own party as well as the Democratic-Republican interaction.
Mm. So finally, Michael, you know, as you look at what's going on in Washington today, recalling the wisdom of Warren Rudman, what's the Rudman kernel of wisdom that folks should or could or might take to heart today?
Well, you know, after he left the Senate, he went on with Paul Zongas, the former Massachusetts senator from Massachusetts, to create this thing called the Concord Coalition. And the idea behind that was to create a bipartisan effort to tell people, to use Rudman's words, the truth about what's going on with the deficit, that there would be some very hard choices. And that is today, you know, one of his legacies, that Concord Coalition still exists. He and Zongas hoped it would come into formation and then go away pretty quickly as they solved the deficit. So I can only think that he'd like that message of the coalition and what he said to reverberate today.
Michael Cranish, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
That's the Boston Globe's Washington Bureau Deputy Chief Michael Cranish. And you can find a link to his piece about Warren Rudman at radioboston.org.
Coming up, the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court weighs in on privacy and your cell phone. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.